By the way, those that wanted a copy of the message last week, we did have backup on it because we were taping. You notice I wear two microphones. I'm all wired up here. But that's because we're broadcasting on the internet, and we are. People can actually watch us from anywhere in the world. And it's really something, the technology. I know the devil uses it, but we're going to invade his territory with the gospel. Amen. And so that's a wonderful thing. We were able to capture all of it last time, so I don't know if that's ready yet or not, but we will have that available, so we didn't miss anything. Amen. Some people had mentioned that to me, that they were listening and it got real faint and they couldn't hear what I was saying because the clip had broken, and thankfully, with double microphones, we're able to still get it. Amen. I just wanted to mention that the Lord is doing great and marvelous and wonderful things. I heard from a man from Melbourne, Australia. He and his wife and daughter are coming here to get baptized in Jesus' name. Sometime in the summer, later on in the summer. And this man he said he's quite a lonely man because people won't have much to do with him. He was a big Mason, 33rd degree Scottish Rite Mason. And he's come to the Lord, he's repented, wants to get baptized, seeking the Holy Ghost, and for he and his daughter also. But he told me he was in preparation for the 34th degree. Now that's a degree most people don't know exists. That's in the Esoteric Lodge. It's called the Warrior on the Block. I knew that before he told me about it. But actually, if you think about it, there are 360 degrees in the circle, and Lucifer is the 360th degree. So the lower level never knows what's in the upper level. That's the way it works in secret societies. You never know what's above you. Only what you've gone through, and they don't tell you until it's too late. There's always something you don't know and don't know and don't know, and you're seeking after and you never find it. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But I'm thankful that the Lord brought him to repentance. Amen. We heard from our dear friends in Colorado, the weather was so bad and some things that happened, they weren't able to get here today, but they're coming in July to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this dear sister is in a school as a principal, and so she can't get off now until after June, but then they're planning to come on out, and we're glad for that. We're hearing from a lot of people calling to be baptized in the state of Washington, New York City, they want me down in Charleston, South Carolina. I can't take all of these requests, and I need to be here too. And of course, keep everything going. So just pray for me that I'm sensitive enough to hear exactly what God wants me to do. If He wants me to be somewhere for a little while, I'll have to do it, and I will. But I need your prayers with that. There's so many requests. I had one from Ghana in Africa. You know, I'm just not equipped to travel all over the world, because we have an outreach right from here. Request from the Philippines and just all over the place. But God has a perfect will for all of us and a ministry for every one of us to do. And I'm thankful we can be here right now worshiping Him. But do keep me in prayer. We have, I'm trying to remember how many tens of thousands of pieces of mail we sent out. I know Jane gave me a printout, and it's just phenomenal. I believe we spent about $89,000 just in postage. Postage. And just tens of thousands of packages and newsletters to prisoners, to chaplains. If the chaplains say they can't have it, we'll send it directly to them. And packages of media monthly that consist of our DVDs and CDs and tapes, however they want them. And the word's getting out. Amen. I've been getting so much mail coming in from people I never heard from before. So I just thank God that He's doing all of this work. And I know why, too, because we're in the very last days of time. We're at the end of the world. Really, this is it. I know that doesn't sink in because we're accustomed to see the sun come up every morning. But it's going to end very soon. And what we're going to do today is we're going to sing that chorus, "Keep on Walking by Faith." People have come to expect that of us. And then we're going to go into the Word of God. We have a baptism this morning as well. Sister Gerlinda, that's a German name, you know, is going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we are looking forward to that. Amen. First of all, sing this with me. Keep on walking by faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Once more. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Let's give Him a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. We are going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. And we'll be focusing on the 27th verse. And we're going to call this message the greatest miracle of all. And I think when you hear about it, you'll have to agree it is the greatest miracle of all. I believe in a wonder-working God who does miracles. And He doesn't ask much of us, just that we believe, because really, there's nothing we can do without Him. But we must understand that we can't look at God simply with our own intellect, because that would be minimizing Him. We have to look at the Almighty God through eyes of faith, understanding that all things are possible, that there is an unseen, that all the glories of heaven are real, and that the power of God is available to those who will believe Him beyond the abilities of their own intellect, and understand that there is a peace that passes all understanding. See, that's the problem today. The Bible says in the last days people would be heady and high-minded. They want to try and figure God out, and they want to basically make God in their own image. And He's far greater than any of our individual or collective comprehension. Without question, God is greater. He fills this vast universe. He made all these things and did it starting with nothing and did it with the power of His voice. Amen. With that thought, shall we pray? Father in heaven, we approach Thy word now with, O Lord, with great faith, as Thou wouldst give us that great faith. I pray that Thou wouldst help us to have understanding today, that Thou wouldst break through every barrier of doubt and fear, and give us the ability to discern, to learn, to understand, to be drawn closer to Thee, that we might be filled with the Holy Ghost. O Lord, that we would be literally saturated with Thy great and powerful presence. For we are not worthy of the least of all Thy mercies. But we do thank Thee for Thy mercy and Thy grace. Be Thou with us, Lord, for the sake of the precious blood of Jesus, by Thy great redeeming power, by the sanctifying power of Thy Spirit, let Thy word now be alive within us and draw us very close to Thee, O God. Help us as we worship Thee now by hearing, by magnifying Thy name, that our souls, O Lord, would be submitted unto Thee. O Lord, that Thou wouldst just have the preeminence here and come into this place now and do a great and a mighty work. For Lord Jesus, we look to Thee now as not only the author of our faith, but the finisher of it also. Let Thy name be glorified, O God, and let Thy name be exalted. And we ask this now in Jesus' name also, that Thou wouldst drive out every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every hindering power. Oh Lord, through thy mighty name, we break every hex, vex, and curse, and everything that would be sent against thy word, thy people, thy kingdom. Oh Lord, I know, God, that thou art greater than it all. So Lord Jesus, let thy preeminence now prevail within us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We are reading now from 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. And we're going to find out what is the greatest miracle of all. And by miracle, I mean something that is impossible, cannot happen, except by the hand of God Himself. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. Must have been an awesome sight, for the event was the dedication of the temple that was built at Jerusalem. It was a beautiful temple set on a hill with glistening white stones, and of course, within was blue and purple and scarlet, gold and silver. It was a magnificent structure. Beautiful. Very large. Could be seen from miles away. And here was Solomon at the time of the dedication of that building, and he spreads forth his hands, and listen to what he says. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. And I can say praise the Lord to that. In fact, there is no other God. One thing I know and know very well, because it comes by revelation, and that is, there is one God. One God. And I think of Him that way. Hear, O Israel. Doesn't the Word tell us this? The Lord our God is, how many? One. 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 That made Him different. And of course, the people of God, it separated them from all others because everybody else has more than one. All right? All the heathen, all the pagans, in the realm of witchcraft, they have all kinds of gods and goddesses. And of course, in the mythology, you go back to the Greek mythology, the Roman mythology. Did you ever read any of that? They always teach it in school, don't they? How come they want you indoctrinated in witchcraft? It's religion. They call it mythology. It's religion. And of course, they've got mama gods and daddy gods having baby gods. Right? What do you have in Roman Catholicism? Mama God having baby God and a daddy God and all this kind of thing. Isn't it true? Michelangelo hanging from the ceiling like a spider by a rope and drawing a picture, he says his God, with his big finger reaching down and touching Adam. He didn't know what God looked like. Nobody knows what God. In fact, God is a spirit. Amen. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now those are two things you can't find put together very often. Spirit and truth. And that's the only way we can worship our God and our King. So here He is saying, there's no God like thee in heaven above or on the earth beneath. Remember, Satan said, I will be like the Most High. But what happened? He was thrust out. Then what? He determined he would still be a God. He'll convince people of the earth that he is the God of the earth. And has it worked? Has anybody followed him? Has he set up religions of all type? Many of them called Christian, put crosses on the top of them. You know, the Pope over there just baptized a Muslim leader. There's a feather in the cap, huh? Well, you would think if the Pope himself had baptized you, that would make you some kind of a special Christian. When in reality, Catholicism isn't Christianity at all. Some people say, oh, you're Protestant. You must have come out of Catholicism. No, 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 no. We didn't come out of that. The true church wasn't born of the loins of the harlot. No. Our salvation in the Church of Jesus Christ was raised up by the Spirit of God. Sure, we came out, all of us came out of different things we were involved in, but the true church of God was not born of anything that is error. Come on, that's how it works. And so we know that Satan has built up massive religions. You know, there's a lot of strange things going on right now. Cheney is over there in Jerusalem. He went to church in Jerusalem this morning. John McCain was over there praying at the Wailing Wall. And they took a picture of him. It's a great photo op, you know. He's standing there next to a rabbi, and they've got their hands on there, and they're praying. They're looking for the temple to come. It's too bad, you know, because the temple's already come. Isn't that right? Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." You know, you got people thinking, well, this is Easter Sunday to a lot of people. This is not an Easter service. I hope that no one's disappointed. This is not an Easter service because Easter is a pagan holiday based on a witch's Sabbath and a full moon. Come on. Jesus died at the Passover. The Passover is always calculated 14 days after the new moon, after the spring equinox. And so that's next month, the 19th of April on our calendar. Now that's almost a month away. How can you be that far off the mark? Well, that's the spirit of error. And the problem is it's idolatry and it's witchcraft, and people are falling lockstep into that and walking in the way of error, not knowing the way of truth because they don't know the Lord. They think that a couple of days ago on Friday, which is not 3 days and three nights, by the way, remember the sign of the prophet Jonah? If they don't get that, no sign will be given to them. If they can't understand and figure out that much, that Jesus died on a Wednesday, and that He rose again on Saturday, it wasn't called Saturday back then, at sundown, and the discovery was made of the resurrection on the first day of the week. If they can't get that, God said, I won't give them anything else. No sign but that one will be given to a wicked and an adulterous generation. But these people think that the Son of God, which they say is one third of God, died on the cross. Now you've got two people left in the Godhead, see? Because one of them's dead. Now you've got dead deity. No, it doesn't work like that. You can't kill God. Why did Jesus cry out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did He do that? Why did the Spirit of God withdraw from the flesh, withdraw from the body that He had prepared, withdraw from the Lamb of God? Why did He withdraw? Because otherwise He could not die. God cannot die. God is always alive. There is no dead deity. The flesh of God died. The Son of God died. The Lamb of God. The body that He prepared. Emmanuel, God with us. But He's one God. He put on a robe of flesh. That's the Son of God, born of a virgin named Mary. But God didn't die. Come on, we have to understand that. They got dead deity up there. They took one third of God down, put Him in a grave. Now you got two left? No! It's the Son of God. Jesus is God, very God, wearing humanity. He came down among us. He dwelt among us. Did miracles among us. How did He do it? See, I'm going to tell you in a little bit what the greatest miracle of all is. But we need to understand who He is. And we're going to understand it even more and even better in just a little while. But I think it's rather remarkable what we're seeing going on. They all want to go over there to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, you see, and pray at the Wailing Wall or make their appearance. And it's all politics. That's what it is. These men are Masons. These men are Illuminists. But they'll stand there with any of them for a show. And I saw that picture of McCain standing there, and he's got his hands out there, and I know the prayer that they're praying very well. Adirhu, yivna becho bekorov, bimhero, bimhero, biomenu bekorov, el bene, bene becho bekorov. That's ancient Hebrew. It means great is the Lord, mighty is He, soon will He rebuild His temple. Speedily, speedily in our day rebuild, O God, Thy temple. Hey, they missed the mark. Jesus Christ is the temple. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. How could He raise it up if He was dead? See, God didn't die. The Bible says the Father would raise Him up and Jesus said, I will raise it up. Jesus said in John chapter 14, He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus is the express image of His person. He is God, very God. Now, that understood, I know the Catholics won't like that because they like dead deity. It kind of fits their program. It fits the mythology of the whole thing. But it's not true. And I'm waiting for somebody to send me an email or a letter that hears this and tries to argue with me about it. I don't think they will, because they know they're hearing the truth. And they know what the Scripture says once I lay it out there. And this is a fact. There is one Almighty God, and Jesus is called the Almighty. Now, here in 1 Kings, Solomon is praying, saying, there's no God like unto Thee, in heaven above, or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with Thy servants that walk before Me with all their heart. Verse 24 says, who has kept with Thy servant David my father, that Thou promised him, and spakest also with Thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with Thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with Thy servant David, my father, that Thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail Thee a man in My sight to sit on the throne of Israel. Isn't that awesome? Do you realize what that means? Who is sitting on the throne of Israel today? Is there a son of David sitting on the throne of Israel today? His name is Jesus. Come on. You just have to understand that. That He has fulfilled His promise. That throne is occupied. And that is the very throne of Israel. There shall not fail Thee a man in My sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that Thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before Me as Thou hast walked before Me. And now, O God of Israel, let Thy word, I pray Thee, be verified, which Thou spakest unto Thy servant David, my father. And this is what He has to say about that. Verse 27. But will God... He's asking a question now. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Think about this. He's got a predicament here. He's got a problem that challenges his faith. Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heaven, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain Thee. How much less this house that I have builded? The question is, how do you get the essence of God, the greatness that He is, for He has spanned the universe, creating all things. How can that Almighty God fit into that temple? That's the question He's asking. God who made the sun, the moon, the stars. You know, that's the problem today. A lot of people can't relate to what I'm saying because they don't look up anymore. They're too busy looking at the idiot lantern. Huh? Years ago, children used to go outside and parents would show them and they could name all the trees. I know I have to go back quite a ways now, but they could name all the trees. They could look at the leaves and the bark and they could tell you what a birch was and a tamarack and a quaking aspen and a linden tree and all these different trees, oak and birch and maple, and they could tell you they knew all of those things. Try it now. Now we live in a day of football and NASCAR and and basketball and video games and all this stuff. People are so locked into that electronic eyeball, that's all they know. And those minds are absorbing all this stuff that Satan is piping down to them, and they know nothing of any real value. Children used to be able to walk outside and they could tell you better than the meteorologist. Ah, it isn't going to rain today. There's dew on the ground. If there's dew on the ground, it won't rain that day. Never has. In all the history of the world. There's, because of the condensation and so forth, it tells you that the rain will not, it cannot form rain if the dew is on the ground. It's not that difficult to understand if you know the dynamics of weather. They could tell you the names of the clouds. They could tell you what's going to go on. They could look up and tell you, well, I see some cirrus clouds up here. What that means is I got to keep track of that, look at what time it is, because from the time I see the cirrus clouds until the time the rain starts, that's how long it will rain. See? Anybody could have told you that. Go back and look at the Articles of Confederation, the Mayflower Compact, any of these old documents. It looks like some Philadelphia lawyer wrote it. Like, wow, what does that word mean? What does that, we get your dictionary out, what does that mean? That was common language back then. Nowadays, what is it? Oh, you guys ought to get with it, man. Everything's fire out, cool, groovy. Huh? Right? They don't have a brain anymore. They're grooved out. You know, sometimes you think they must have plugged their headphones into a microwave instead of the CD player. They're absolutely fried. I used to work at the UW Oshkosh. I go in these dormitories, and there'd be students studying there, and they had some advanced trigonometry things they're working on. They had the headphones on, and you could hear it sounded like regular speakers are so loud. Think that what that must have done to their ears. They're pounding that music through there, and that was the soundtrack by which they studied. You know why there can't? You know why the Lord's coming? Well, He said He would, but you know why it must be soon? There aren't enough people with a brain left to run this world in the next generation. There's not enough left. Who's going to do the work? Who's going to think? When they've been dumbed down, and they keep making things easier, lower the standard, lower the bar, make it easy for them. Pass them right on through and out into society and teach them that there must be a collective society and that everything that is done must be done for the good of society. Do you ever hear people talk that way? I don't see society. I look at all the people and I don't see society. I see individuals with individual rights that must be respected. But they've forgotten all of that. They look at everything collectively. We must do everything for the good of the whole general population. And they never do. I'll give you some examples here. You know, our Senate has been busy. And there's an old saying that no man's life or property is safe while the Senate is in session. So I should say the House in general, the whole legislature, whether it be state or federal, whatever. I saw that. You know where I saw that sign? In the Capitol down here in Madison. They had a sign up there. No man's life or property is safe while the legislature is in session. But anyway, they're passing a law making it illegal for you to have incandescent light bulbs. Because they take too much power. That you can get these squiggly little fluorescent, you know, those, you've seen them, haven't you? And you can screw those in and they take half the power. But the problem is that every one of those little bulbs has 5 milligrams of mercury in it. And if they break, 5 milligrams of mercury is enough to pollute 60,000 gallons of water. One bulb. 60,000 gallons of water beyond where it's safe to drink it. How many of those are going to end up in landfills and go into the groundwater and all that mercury accumulating in there? But they didn't think of that, did they? One woman heard about it, and she was changing one of her bulbs, and it fell down and broke. And she called, and they said, you're going to have to call a hazmat team to do it right. She called the Poison Control Center. They said, you have to get a hazmat team in to clean your house now because the mercury vapor is in there and it's going to be on the wall. It's going to be in the air. Open your windows. Any fragments, pick it up with duct tape. Don't touch anything. There's mercury in there. They're telling how awful and dangerous it was. And she called a hazmat team in fear, and they came in and cleaned her house and charged her $2,000 for it, for breaking one light bulb. Now, how many of those squiggly little bulbs are out there? See, the Bible tells us, the Lord told us, ye shall die in a polluted land. People are getting sick and they wonder why. You know, they got these big giant hospitals like down there in Madison. 1,200,000 square feet at University Hospital. Think of, how would you like to pay the bill it costs just to run that place for a month? All the people working there, all the gadgets and all the multi-million dollar hardware and all the nurses and all the doctors and all these people. Do you know how many sick people you've got to generate and run through a place like that to cover it? You can't afford to take a chance on people not getting sick. You've got to make them sick. Went to a doctor a while back one time and he said, oh, you need something for your blood pressure. I said, well, I can understand. I've been going through a lot of things lately and that is probably up. I said, but he said, oh, you got it. You've got to take this. Here's an ACE inhibitor. ACE inhibitor. I thought, I don't even play cards. Take this ACE inhibitor. So anyway, I found out, I looked up on the computer. I did a lot of research on it and studied it. And I found out every ACE inhibitor there is derived directly from the venom of the Brazilian pit viper. Snake oil in the form of a pill. Literally. The venom from the viper. See, the way the snake kills you is that particular kind of a snake bites you and shoots concentrated venom into you. And when it does, it expands all your arteries and all your veins, expand out. Your blood pressure drops down to almost nothing and you drop dead. And so what they did, they thought, that sounds pretty good. We'll take a little of it. You know, back off on how much, and give that to people, that expands their arteries. That's how ACE inhibitors work. And then it lowers the blood pressure because it makes more room for the blood to travel. You keep thinking about these. I don't like snakes anyway. I just don't like them. I mean, you know, I guess they got a right to live, but not in my neighborhood. They're not invited. But, you know, you look at these, think of a Brazilian pit viper, and then they take that stuff out of there and put it in a pill form and want you to swallow it so that you're healthy. And, you know, it's like being bit by a snake every day except you just swallow the stuff. No, there's all kinds of crazy things that are going on in this world and people don't ask enough questions. Doesn't it seem like people in general are kind of in a daze? Has Satan done a number on the population of this country? And of course, the rest of the world as well. And he confines and controls people and corrals them through things called religions. But you break free from that in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Solomon was looking at this situation of this temple and how big it was and magnificent it was, but he said, how could I fit God into this building? He looked at the vastness. You know, David, his father, said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I'm of the opinion, I think we ought to be looking up. Actually, Jesus told us to. He said, your redemption draweth nigh. Why, if we look up in the sky, we're going to see the greatness of God, especially being a Christian. The pagans look up and they see the zodiac and so forth. And there are 12 signs on an ecliptic line, crossing the celestial equator twice. Yeah, that's all there. But let's give the glory to God. There's a declaration of glory in the heavens. Shouldn't we look up and see the vastness of it all? There's a constellation up there. It's actually going down this time of the year, called Orion. And Orion's very, very easy to find. But one of the things that, the shoulder, as you look up the left shoulder, there's a star called Betelgeuse, which means armpit. It's the armpit of the giant. And it is a star that's 50 million miles across. But it pulsates, goes up to 90 million, back down to 50, up to 90, down to 50. And they said the reason it's doing is it's getting ready to explode. And if it explodes, it'll supernova, and at that point, we will not have real night on the earth anymore, but there'll be light in the evening time. I wonder. Doesn't the Bible say something about that? Are your wheels turning? I don't know how God's going to do all the things He said He would do, but He'll do them. But you look up and you see the vastness of space, and you know, if the sun were to go out right now, it'd take us 8 1/3 minutes before we'd even know it, because the sun is 8 1/3 light minutes away from the earth. You look at some of these stars in Orion, like Betelgeuse or Bellatrix or Rigel or Saif or Alnilam, Alnitak, Mintaka, any of these stars. And these stars, that the light that we see right now started out from there back before Columbus discovered America. And you're just seeing the light now. We're talking about the vastness of the universe here. The vastness, why? You have to measure it in light years. It's almost like you have to measure a national debt. Well, a light year is what? 6 trillion miles. Our national debt's $9 1/3 trillion. It's astronomical. You have to measure it, I suppose, in light dollars. It's that big. It's phenomenal. You can't get out of that one. Failure is guaranteed. What if we suddenly couldn't use electronic impulses anymore and we had to use real paper? Of course, that isn't real money. I said real paper. But what if that we had to do that? Can you print enough? Let me see them print $9 1/3 trillion worth of paper. Considering no wheel or airplane propeller has ever turned even 1 billion times without having to have mechanical work done on it. 1 billion. 1,000 billion times 9 1/3. Come on. There's no way out of this one. And they've done this on purpose. You know, we heard about the shenanigans going on in Wall Street, the government creating this institution to bail out and all this stuff, this troubled economy, borrowing money from China to do it. And, of course, Bear Stearns being bought up for 6% of its value by J.P. Morgan, who started the Great Depression back in 1929. J.P. Morgan and Associates. They're doing it again. And it's this time, when it goes, the government will go and a new government will come up. Do you believe there's something invisible going on? Somebody sent me a tape recording of I never actually saw this program. It's one of those late night David Letterman. I've never seen it myself, but somebody sent me a little portion of it on a videotape, and I watched it. They had Al Gore on there. Of course, Al Gore is a Mason. And they didn't say that, but David Letterman on this tape said to Al Gore, "Show us your ashtray trick." He said, "I know you can do it every time." They took one of those glass square ashtrays. You see them all over the place. Took a nail set and a hammer, laid it on there at a certain angle, and hit it. And it broke into exactly 32 pieces. Do it every time. See, that's a little witchcraft there. And everybody applauded. Oh, look at that. Isn't that great stuff? There is such an insidious plot by Satan using people through secret societies in order to advance his cause. And you know what the problem is? Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. You can tell them there are secret societies. There are things done behind the scenes. Everybody seems to know that, but they just don't care. And what does the Bible say is the big problem in the last days? No man layeth it to heart. Nobody cares. One of the biggest problems we have is the guy next door who doesn't care at all about anything. Somebody has to make it known that this world is coming to an end. Our Lord is coming. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the only way out. You know, what I'm reading here, I hope you can appreciate what Solomon was feeling when he said, how can the Lord be in this place when the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him? How can you fit God into a temple? Could we take the Mississippi River and make it flow through a one-inch pipe, get it all into a one-inch pipe? You'd say, that's impossible. Could we fit the Lake Michigan into a glass? That'd be impossible. Way too much volume there. God fills the universe. How are you going to get Him in one temple? Yet the Bible tells me, and this is the greatest of all miracles, the greatest miracle of all, that the Almighty God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. That all that God is was in that body. He still filled the universe while Jesus was walking in the earth, but all that God is, all the greatness, all of the miracle-working power was in that body. See, when Jesus was casting out devils, He didn't pray that these devils be cast out. He just said, go! He didn't pray that the crippled man would walk. He said, rise up and walk! Why? He's the same one who said, let there be light. He's the same one who commanded, and the sun and the moon and the stars appeared on the fourth day. He didn't have to pray for a miracle to happen. He did the miracle. When He stood before the tomb of Lazarus, He prayed. And he was, you know why Jesus prayed? Because He was a man also. God was in Him. God and man. And He prayed to show everyone there that to God be the glory for what is about to happen. And there was a token resurrection. Lazarus came forth when He said, Lazarus, come forth. If He hadn't said Lazarus and just said come forth, the whole cemetery would have emptied. That's how powerful He is. He is so powerful that nothing can resist His will. How are you going to fit Him into a temple? And the big miracle is this, the greatest of all miracles, is that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to Himself. All that God is, how do I know that? Colossians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, the Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Did you hear that, everybody? In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. There it is. Job said, he was lamenting his plight, his condition. He went through a lot of things. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find Him. How do I find God? And then if I found Him, he said, he thought he knew what he would do, but he knew that wouldn't work. But he said at one point, where is there a daysman that can help me? The Bible, in all the Bible, the word daysman, D-A-Y-S-M-A-N, appears one time. What is a daysman? A daysman is an arbitrator. When arguments were to be settled back in those days, if there was a farmer arguing with another farmer about land or whatever, they'd bring in a daysman. And you know what? The daysman had to be a farmer. Somebody would understand and could take the part of both sides and work out an agreement. That was a daysman. If there was a herdsman arguing with another herdsman, they'd have to bring a herdsman in. If there was a metal worker, they bring in another metal worker and settle the argument between the two. But Job said his problem was, here I am a human being, and he is God. How do you find an arbitrator who could be a daysman? I've got to find somebody who could be true God and true man. Where do you find such an one? Where is my daysman who can settle the problem of sin for me? And the fact is that Jesus Christ is both true God and true man, the perfect daysman, the perfect arbitrator, the mediator. There is one God, the Bible tells us, just one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The so-called Virgin Mary can't do it. Did Mary need a Savior? What did she say? My soul doth rejoice in God my Savior. If she was born without sin, what'd she need a Savior for? My soul doth rejoice in God my Savior! Do you know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there on the day of Pentecost and God filled her with the Holy Ghost? Of course, the Pope said, I think it was 1957, 56, 57, somewhere near. I think it was 57 that she was, they call it the Blessed Assumption. And that's what it is to an assumption. But that she was taken up into heaven as the mother of God. God doesn't have a mother. The Son of God. The Son of God. Jesus, the flesh of God, had a mother. All right? Just so we understand the terminology, because they try to slip that mythology in on you to get you to believe a lie. Have you ever noticed how people love to believe the sensational, the mystery things? Well, I'll tell you what, God lays it out very nicely for us. As a matter of fact, in Romans, the Lord told us, He made it very, very clear who God is. We'll look at a couple other verses before I get to that one, though. Let's look at this situation. And let's go over, first of all, to Matthew, chapter 16. Talk about a miracle of miracles. How am I going to fit this all into the... What do I usually go about? 70 minutes, something like that. You know, I've been in churches where the preacher go, well, if you call them that, 10 minutes. And I've been in 10 minutes and I can't remember anything he said. It's amazing. But in Matthew 16, have you ever talked, how many's ever talked to a Roman Catholic about God? Anybody? All right. What do they generally tell you? Our church was built on Peter. He had the keys. The Vatican is built on top of him. He's buried underneath there. That makes us the real church. Because that's where Peter is buried. They will tell you that at some point. Now, in Matthew 16, we're going to find that what the church was built upon. If you go down to the 13th verse, Matthew 16, 13, says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What kind of a question is that? Identity. Most people had a mistaken concept of who Jesus is. Most people to this day still do. They don't understand who Jesus is. That he's just a part of God. I'm telling you, he is God. He is God. God made visible. God manifested in the flesh. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Remember, he was beheaded? Elias, that's Elijah. And others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, he's getting personal with them. Yeah, the others are saying, well, you're one of the prophets. They had to say something. He was doing miracles. But now he says, I want to know, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the flesh of God, the body of God. What a miracle. This one who came to bring salvation. You know, the Bible tells us that when God made all the sun, moon, and stars, He did it with His fingers. We know that's figurative. It means His handiwork. But it mentions the fingers of God. And when He made man out of the dust of the ground, He formed him with His hands. Not just the fingers, but the hands. But when He wrought our salvation, it says His own arm wrought salvation, showing even greater power. It took that much power to save your soul, more than it took to create the universe. Now, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. No man taught you this. You got this from God. And when you get it from God, nobody can take it away. Isn't that great? Somebody who really and truly is filled with the Holy Ghost, nobody's going to talk him out of it. That's the value of it. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What does he say? How do you say Peter in Greek? Petros. It means a little pebble. You're a little pebble, is what he's saying. And upon this rock, this Petra, big mountain, I'll build my church. He wasn't building it on the pebble of Peter. He was building it on this rock, an understanding that Peter had of who he was. Thus, the church is not built on Peter's skeleton. It's built on the understanding of the true identity of Jesus Christ. That's where the church is built. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means that the gates of hell cannot withstand the attack you put on it. People worry about hell attacking them. Hell's been attacking me as long as I can remember. But you need to give hell something to worry about. Because the Lord has given us power to cast out devils. And that isn't done through some kind of a weird deliverance ritual thing. One man over in Africa, there was this man who was obviously possessed by a devil. Foam coming out of his mouth, eyes rolling in the back of his head, and he was shaking all over, and he's full of devils. And they had these missionaries from America there, and they were laying hands on him and pouring oil on his head and all this stuff, and the guy just got worse and worse. And one old, ignorant black man from Africa, never studied the Bible, just heard it preached, went over to that man, put his hands on his shoulder and said, Go, devil, go! Jesus' name, go, devil, go! Out it came. Didn't take any oil, didn't take any fancy prayer, just go, devil, go. And he went. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Just magnify the Lord, they'll go. One service over there, can you imagine this? You know, here they got this little building with little windows in it. You know how they are over there, just not fancy at all. And they're singing a song, there's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And one man starts screaming, No! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! No! And jumped through the window. Now, can you imagine going home from church? Oh, how's church today? Oh, about normal. Somebody jumped through the window and, you know, start yelling and screaming, and hey, they do manifest, don't they? And you can tell by what people are doing what spirit they're of. If they got an accusing spirit, a nasty spirit, a negative spirit, that's not God. It shouldn't be that hard to figure out. They're manifesting the powers of hell. Of course, they did it to Jesus. Paul had more enemies than he could count. Jesus had so many enemies. You wonder, how can we, you know, by doing the right things, how can we acquire enemies? Hey, how can't you? You do the right thing in this world, what's right in the eyes of God, you are going to have all kinds of resistance all the time. Well, praise the Lord. Now, Jesus tells Peter that he's got the revelation. He said it was revealed to him. And then he proceeded to give him the keys to the kingdom, and I went over that last Wednesday night, that Peter was the one who first preached at Pentecost. Peter was the one who preached, was called, along with John, to the Samaritans. Peter was the one to preach to the Gentiles, the household of Cornelius. Peter opened the doors to the Jews with the new covenant, to the Samaritans, the half-Jewish, half-something else, and to the Gentiles. Because he was given the keys. And what message did Peter preach? What were those keys? When they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Same message. Consistent every time. How do you fit God into one body? But Jesus Christ is God, very God. Let me show you something here. Let's go back to Jeremiah. Who is the Lord? Jeremiah 10. Of course, we know Jeremiah 10 about the Baal mass tree and so forth, how God condemns that. But as you go down to verse 10, in God's denouncing of idolatry, he says in Jeremiah 10:10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble. And it is. You know, down in San Antonio the other day, it was raining mud. They can't quite figure out how that happened, but mud was falling from the sky, from the clouds. Mud right out of the clouds? There'd have to be mud. You know, that's such a miracle anyway. Why do clouds float? You take dry air, you add water to the dry air, and it floats. But it's true, water vapor is lighter than air. And that's why the barometer goes down before a storm. It doesn't make any sense logically, but God made it that way. But mud? Suspended in the clouds and raining mud? Wouldn't that be a mess? How'd you like that hitting your car? How'd you like to fly through that? And a little Cessna, huh? Raining mud! Strange things. So the Bible says, at His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. When God manifests His indignation, you know what's going to happen? This nation can't stand. No nation of the world can stand. That means they're all going to fall at His indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by His power, He hath established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. And all of that was in Jesus Christ. Go back to Proverbs 30, verse 4. Proverbs 30, verse 4 says, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? You can read over there in Job chapter 9, and the Bible says that only the Lord treads on the waves of the sea. Only God can do that. But I know of Jesus walking on the water. Who is he? God in the form of a man. The one true creator of the universe in the form of a human being, the Messiah, the second Adam, the Redeemer. Not part of God, God. The fullness of the Godhead in Christ. I realize that Rome gets mad at that and the daughters of Rome get mad at that. But the fact remains, there is only one God. As a matter of fact, when John looked up into heaven, in Revelation chapter 4, he saw a throne set in heaven and one sat on the throne. There's a lot of explaining that the Catholics have to do. Now, we're not quite finished yet. We're getting there. Earlier, I had mentioned Colossians chapter 2. And I want to have you turn there for a moment. I'd also mention Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, I've got you turning to two places at once now. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world..." That's Romans 1:20. "The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The Bible says you can understand the Godhead, leaving everybody without excuse. How do we understand it? That God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. That Jesus is not a third of God, a part of God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's not the middle of anything. He's the beginning and the end. Boy, have they fed people a line of malarkey for a long, long, long time. But Colossians 2, I quoted this before. I quoted verses 8, 9, and 10. But I want to go past that because we have a baptism this morning, pretty soon. But look at this with me. Colossians 2, 8, 9, and 10, and then beyond a couple of verses. "Beware lest any man spoil you." How? "Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." All those other things are not after Christ. Okay? All the wisdom of men, all the philosophy, all the high-mindedness. You know, when I worked at UW Oshkosh, I used to talk to these professors of religion. And I said to one of them one time, we're over at the student union at lunchtime. I was introduced to him, actually, as a professor of religious studies. And I, on purpose, I said to him, "Oh, a religious professor." And he scowled at me. He said, "No, I am not." He said, "I'm a professor of religious studies." And we start talking about Jesus. And he knew all the terminology and he was going over all this stuff. And I said, "Do you claim to be a Christian?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm actually a Buddhist." He said, "I teach Christianity, but I'm a Buddhist myself." You see what's wrong? And that's one little sample of what goes on out there. And they crank these people out, and you go to these divinity schools, it's the same thing. The rudiments of this world, the philosophy of men. Verse 9 says, "For in him," that's Jesus, "in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Period. You see it? And ye are complete in Him. Not incomplete, complete. In Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God. You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Some people get this confused with that Jesus only thing. You know, they say, Jesus only. No, we believe in the Heavenly Father. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We just believe that it's one God doing all these things, manifesting Himself all these ways. We don't ignore our Heavenly Father. We pray to Him. But we understand He dwelt in a human body as Jesus. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. That's not hard to understand, is it? But they tell you, oh, you can't, it's a great mystery. And Romans 1:20 says it isn't. The Bible says great is the mystery of godliness, not the Godhead. Godliness, that's the mystery. How could a man be like God? How could a man profess godliness and manifest godliness? But the Godhead is not a mystery. It's very easily understood. They just told you it's difficult. Isn't that something how they'll do that to you? Oh, you will never understand Revelation. Don't even go there. I've heard Lutheran ministers say that. I came out of the Lutheran church years ago. Oh, don't ever read Revelation. Don't even go there. And the Bible says we are to read it. It's appointed to be read. What does the book of Revelation mean? To make known. And it makes so many things known. So we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. But watch what He says now. In whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now Jesus was circumcised the eighth day in the synagogue. But what is the circumcision made without hands? This certainly isn't the Hebrew bris milah, the sacred cutting. This is something else. He tells us what New Testament circumcision is. Verse 12, buried with Him in baptism. So He's continuing the same thought. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. All of those ordinances of an old covenant were nailed to the cross, and we have a new covenant governing both Old and New Testaments. And all people come the same way, whether they're Jews or Gentiles or mixed up, whatever they are. It's the same salvation through Jesus Christ. Because He is the one true God. To cement that fact in closing, we look at Revelation 1, two verses here in closing. Revelation 1, 7, and 8. You know, I had a Jehovah's Witness tell me one time that Jesus is the mighty God. So I asked him, do you believe that Jesus is God? Oh, He's the mighty God, but He's not the Almighty. Because Jehovah's the Almighty, Jesus is just the mighty. Think of all the money they waste printing up all those watchtower things over in Brooklyn, New York there, and I was over there right by their front door, the huge skyscraper, you know, and a big publishing house and all that. And to publish that kind of nonsense? Stuart Crane was saying one time that two Jehovah's Witnesses came to his door, two women, and knocked on the door and said who they were. He said, well, let me ask you something. Is Jesus Christ God? They said, well, He's the mighty God, but He's not the almighty God. And he showed them the verse I'm going to show you here in just a moment. And he said, now, you two women are standing at my door telling me that Jesus is not the almighty when the Bible says that He is. Now, why would two nice women like you come here to lie to me? Who sent you here to lie to me? Who would do that? He said, no, I'm not going to invite you in. If you ever want to come back in a repentant spirit and learn about Jesus Christ, then you're welcome back here. But until then, auf Wiedersehen. That was it. He wasn't going to listen to them anymore. It's really amazing. You know, Clarence Taze Russell, Judge Rutherford, the two men who founded the Jehovah's Witnesses, both were 33rd degree Masons in the Scottish Rite and remained so after they studied their religion. After they started it, got it going, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. You know, when Masonry went underground after that debacle when they killed William Morgan, Captain William Morgan, for revealing the secrets of the Blue Lodge, that's in their history. They know about it. When Masonry almost died and went underground, when a political party was started as an anti-Mason party in Ripon, Wisconsin, called the Grand Old Party, the Republican Party, it was anti-Mason, and their anti-Mason candidate was Abraham Lincoln. Masonry was a dirty word. It went underground, it almost died out. But in its place, all of a sudden, popped up a whole bunch of religions. Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, all these little strands, and all the leaders were Masons. The Mormons. In fact, the Mormons, on their ephod that they wear, their elders, has a compass on one side and a square on the other, right on their sacred underwear, that they can never take off, even in the shower. They can take it up, but they've got to keep holding on to it with one hand. They can never let it depart from the touch of their body. So here you are taking a shower with that ephod on your thumb. You know, what if you dropped it? Would you die? Who wants to take a shower with an ephod? Which is kind of like long underwear with the legs and arms cut off. But that's what they do. They think we're strange? No, all these religions started popping up. But who is Jesus Christ? Behold, verse 7, Revelation 1, 7 and 8. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Let it be so. Let the nations wail. You know, they say we're going to have a Christian president, Barack Obama, who is in favor of full-term abortion, government-funded. They'll pay you to kill your baby. Do you know how bad it is? Did you know over in England, where it's very liberal, even more so than here, if that's imaginable, they've already found 1,300 women who have admitted to having 5 abortions each. Killed their entire family. And Barack Obama is a Muslim. Islam is rising and is standing in opposition to the one true God. Who is Jesus Christ? He said in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega. Did he say he's the second person? He said, I'm Alpha, I'm the first and the last. I'm God. Watch this. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He's the what? Almighty. You can only have one of them. Almighty. Again, one time Stuart Crane was in a restaurant talking to some friends, and his waitress was listening to their discussion. They're talking about Jesus. And this waitress was a Muslim, and she walked over. She said, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to listen to conversations, but I couldn't help hearing you because you were talking about Muslims and Christianity. I'm a Muslim. He said, oh, you're a Muslim. He said, let me ask you something. In the Islamic religion, can a prophet lie? She said, no. Every word they say is true. And he said, was Elijah a prophet? And this Muslim said, yes. Jeremiah? Yes. Isaiah? Yes. Ezekiel? Yes. Jesus? She said, yes. He's the greatest of all the prophets, even greater than Muhammad. Did you know they believe that? And he said, but a prophet cannot lie, right? And she said, that's right. And he said, Jesus, he showed her where. Jesus said he was the Almighty. He said, was Abraham God? No. Elijah? No. Ezekiel? No. Jeremiah? No. Jesus? Did he say he was God and he cannot lie? And she started shaking all over and said, nobody ever talked to me like this before. He says, about time somebody did. There goes the whole Muslim religion destroyed by its own doctrine. Right down the drain. Now they're threatening the Pope, Bin Laden. We're going to kill the Pope. It's something he said about Islam. There is something brewing, folks, and World War III is just ahead. People are falling into the trap that Satan has set. But thanks be to God who gives us deliverance and victory through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Gerlinda, come on up here. We're going to pray and go into this baptismal service right now. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we're so thankful today for this Thy Word that we've been able to hear. We are humbled by it, O Lord. We know that there's great power in the understanding of it. And I pray now that Thy Word would remain within us and make us powerful to serve Thee and to withstand all the wiles of the devil, all the things of darkness. O Lord, let them all be gone, overcome by Thy Word. Strengthen our faith exceedingly, we pray, and let Thy name be glorified. And now I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we go into this baptismal service, O Lord, that Thou would send forth Thy great and powerful blessing. We know that Gerlinda's already been filled with the Holy Ghost. I just pray that Thou wouldst once again renew her in Thy Spirit and over again, and use her mightily, O Lord, and bless her and strengthen her as a true daughter of Thy new covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name we pray and help all of us now, Lord, as we look to Thee in faith. Amen.